Romans chapter 1, verse 18. I'm going to read from verses 18 through 25. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest, meaning shown in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but because vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changing the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to the birds, to the four-footed beast, to the creeping thing. Wherefore God hath given them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changing the truth of God into a lie, and worshiping the creature over the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for the day. Thank you for allowing me to preach again. I pray, Lord, that this message will be a help to someone and help them understand the need for the gospel, being a witness. I pray this will be a help to someone here today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you look around us, in every religion out there, pretty much every religion is a work-based religion. When you go to the Catholics, they believe that you have to work your way to heaven. If you go to Mormons, they believe that you have to work. Jehovah's Witness, even Kokopal, Navajo, Native, they all believe they have to work to receive something. When I used to work at Pizza Hut, that's the job I worked before here, before I came on full-time deputation. And I would deliver pizzas, but I wanted job security. I want to make sure that I would be the best worker. One is to reach him for Christ. Second of all, is to have job security. So what I would do is not just deliver. I would also make the pizzas. I would cut them. I would make pastas, and I'm making wings. I would do all this different stuff. I would serve tables. I would do all these things so that if they were going to get rid of someone, I would be the last one they think of getting rid of. That's how I was thinking. I was like, I gotta prove myself to be worth keeping. That's the same thing with religion. A lot of times people think you have to be the best at everything. You have to go on a 30-day fast, or you have to, you have to work. That's the great thing about being saved. You don't have to work for salvation; it's given to you. Many religious people out there think the same way, that you have to work for eternal life. They believe in spirits. I know Mormons believe in having their own planet if they work hard enough. No matter what they think, it will not give them eternal life. You know where they'll go? They'll go to hell. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Man thinketh, I have to earn my way. Jesus says, "I am the way." Man thinketh, I have to do this on my own. Jesus says, "I have already done it for you." It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. God gave us a gift. During Christmas time we get a gift, and it'd be funny if, actually be not, but if someone gave you a gift and says, "All right, now I want you to pay pay me back for that gift I give you. So if you, like, let's just say my brother, he gave me a gift, and I unwrap it, and I say, oh, man, this is a cool gift. Well, it was $35, I won't pay up. That's not how God is. You know, God, it's free. It's paid in full. Jesus says, I've already done it for you. You know, and man tries to bring God down to their level. Example of that is in music. A lot of churches, a lot of people bring in the country music band. You know, I like music, but I like music that is glorifying God in a way that we're not lifting ourselves up. Because this church is not to lift us up. It's to lift the Lord Jesus Christ up. You know, music, entertainment, you know, and all these different things that we and our imagination, we create our own God in our image. And that's what the Kokopal people have done. They have created God in their own image, and they call it spirits. They believe in spirit worship. And what they're trying to do, you have to work at keeping those spirits away. You know, my little nieces, you know, they're fun when I go visit them. And after a couple hours with them, I get a little tired. So what I do is I have them go play outside. You know, I send them out, all right, guys, let's go play. You know, and I close the door and go sit down. You know, but a lot of times I forgot where I was going with this because I didn't. You know, our God will never cause us to sin. I will say that. Let no man say he is tempted when he is when he's tempted. I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. That's in James 1:13. And what gets us to tempt God is our flesh. You know, what tempts us is the devil. The devil puts something in our way, and he wants us, just like a mousetrap, he wants us to grab onto it. Satan will try anything to tempt us to do wrong. You know, Satan will always try to use others around you to cause you to fall into that sin. Take this, like I said in the morning, God created all these trees for us to enjoy, but you know what? That one tree that we cannot have, Satan's going to target that. He's going to try to get our eyes on that focus. You know, why can't I go to the movies, or why can't I hang out with so and so? You know, why can't I go to that place, that party? You know, Satan will always try to get you to go against God's authority. You know, Satan will do whatever he can to get us off track, like I talked about in the morning. God will bless us if we're willing in this area, in this area, in this area. But Satan will say, what about that area of your life? You know, when we stop trying to please ourselves and try to please God, we find the hope, like I was talking about in the morning, that hope in Jesus Christ. When I was 16 years old, I told you, I was looking for that hope. I was looking for a better life than when I was looking for purpose. And I found it in Jesus Christ. You know, and in order for us to get the gospel, we got to tell people the gospel. Even here in Albuquerque, Texas, we have got to preach the gospel to everyone. You know, if the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. You know, how were they here without a preacher? You know, I'm not saying that everyone's called a pastor or be a missionary, but we're all called to spread the gospel. You know, if I don't warn someone, they'll never know of it. You know, that's our job. That is our job as Christians, to get the gospel out. And three ways that I think it could apply to us in the city, the country, or wherever you're at. And it's actually in this It's actually in this passage. I was talking about, I skipped. If you look at that, it says right here, it says in, it's made, the Native American culture has been made, has resisted that there is a God. A lot of people resist there is a God, but God said they have no excuse. It's made known to everyone. And they're changing the uncorruptible God into corruption and of man, you know, and they're worshiping the creature over the creator. But I like to tell you the three reasons, the three ways that how we could be a witness to other people. And it's actually in Romans 1. If you go back to verse 14, we're going to learn this from Paul. I love this about Paul. He's a witness wherever he goes. He says, "I am a debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise." He humbled himself. Humility means not proud, not thinking of yourself. Romans 1:14 speaks of that I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and the unwise. You know, back then, if anyone did not speak the Roman language, they were looked down upon. Because Rome was the supreme ruler of that area at the time. You know, Paul says, I owe this to the people. I admit when I go to a lost person, I don't always feel like I owe someone something. You know, a lot of times we go to people and we see them, you know, like these homeless people. Sometimes, you know, you give them a track and everything, but a lot of times we don't take the time, and I don't always do this, is take the time and show them what the gospel says. And that's what Paul humbled himself towards the people. I'm a debtor to the wise, to the unwise. Why? That foolish person does not deserve our time, our help, but neither do we deserve salvation ourselves. You know, in our own eyes, we're wise, but in God's eyes, we are made fools. When Jesus went to Gethsemane, and he's over there praying, James, John, and Peter to go pray, and they go yonder. It says in Matthew 26:39, and it says, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done." Jesus did not really want to die on the cross. Part of him did not want to. He didn't want to take the punishment for everyone's sin. Not necessarily, but he did. He paid for our sin on that cross that day. You know, we're supposed to bear our crosses every day. We're supposed to be a witness. We are not our own, for we are bought with a price. We got to remember that. I'm going to have you, and how am I going to reach the Kokopoff people for Christ? It's by humbling myself. My wife and I, we have to humble ourselves, not think of ourselves, and try to get the gospel to them. Get out of our comfort zone. Secondly, it's by preaching. I'm going to have you look at verse 15. It says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also." Paul was in prison at this time. He was locked up, but he wanted to be. He wanted to be with the Romans. You know, he wanted to. He was ready to preach. I would like to say for it says in I'm going to have you guys turn there. 1 Corinthians 1:18. I'm going to have you guys turn there real quickly. I got a few minutes. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that are lost, that believe." It's going to be by preaching. We're going to see them come to Christ. You know, it's not going to be by giving out handouts. You know, a lot of people, I'm not against giving food out, helping people out, but does that matter for eternity? You know, a lot of times what I do is I take a teenager out, and we'll go like to a Burger King, you know, dollar menu, and we'll go there and try to order something. When I'll talk with him, and I try to talk to him about the gospel. I try to give him the gospel, and first of all, I ask him, where did you grow up at, or are you real traditional? You know, and try to find out his background. Then I talk to him about the gospel and try to witness to him. And a lot of times they don't get saved right away because they are blinded by the gods of this world, and that's Satan. But it's through preaching that they'll be saved. You know, 2 Timothy 4:2, it says, preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season. Reproof, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering of doctrine. You know, just preach the word. You know, when I got saved, I know I talk about myself a lot, but but when I got saved, I did not know how to read. I told you guys that in the morning, your pastor did. And when I didn't know how to read, I was burned to see my friends get saved. So I went to them and I started talking to them about how what happened to me, how I got saved, how, you know, all you have to do is trust Jesus to save you. It's not by works. You know, you don't have to work or you don't have to go to church. All you have to do is believe that you're a sinner in need of a Savior and turn to Him, repent and turn to Him and trust Him as your Savior. That's all you have to do. You know, well, what about this? You know, and he says, oh, I remember you used to drink. You know, used to cuss a lot, you know. I know your old lifestyle. I know how, you know, and then all the bitterness and anger comes out from them. But you know what? That didn't stop me. You know, when I didn't know how to give the gospel, I went to Walmart and I started giving out gospel tracts. And some people say, well, what do you believe about the rapture? You know, I was like, just read the tract. I had no clue. I had no clue how to witness. So I would give them, and then Walmart asked me to leave, so I would go to the next store, and that was Staples, and I would give gospel tracts out, and then they kicked me out too. Then I went to Taco Bell, and I spent the whole day, and a preacher said this, and I know this is foolish. I don't use those words very lightly, but a preacher told me right before I go, I don't know if he's joking, he told me to wear a suit jacket, and this was during the Yuma hot summer weather. I mean, it was like 118 degrees. So I was drinking a lot of water that day, and I was giving out gospel. All I want to do is to tell people about Jesus, you know. I want to tell them how they could be free from this, from their sin. You know those cuffs on them? They can be broken. You know, you don't have to be enslaved to sin. You know, put your faith and trust in Jesus. You know, and that's what I was telling them. I don't know how, but I still. And, you know, no one showed me. But I actually learned how to soul win in college, you know. I believe it's the Holy Spirit that just told me I need to go and tell. I need to be a witness. Third of all is boldness. Third of all, boldness. So you got humility, you got by preaching, and how we're going to reach this world for Christ is by boldness. Being bold is not being not afraid. Confident. Being not afraid what others think. You know, like I said, when I talked to my friends, they thought I was foolish. They thought I was, actually one guy thought I was drunk, which is sad. But you know what? I was just excited about being saved. I was just excited. And I would cry at night for my friends to get saved. And you know what? Some of them did. Through being consistent, being bold. You know, when I in high school was, I know that a lot of people go to Christians, go to public schools that might be in this room. You know, if they try to make fun of you about the Christian living, don't tear them down. You know, be a witness, but don't tear them down. Don't And don't be afraid to give the gospel. Don't be afraid to be a Christian. I know it's hard to give the gospel, especially in public schools. But if a guy who couldn't even read could do that, I believe that anyone can. Through boldness. I would tell them what happened to me, and they would just laugh in my face. One actually spit in my face, and you know what? I wanted to fight him, but you know what? I knew I was going to hurt the name of Christ. You know, a preacher said this to me. He preached it, and he said this. He says, diligence plus dependence equal victory. Diligence plus dependence equal victory. You know, diligence meaning is a constant effort to complete something. You know, to accomplish something. You know, get in the book. Be diligent in the Word of God. And then he says, dependence. Depend on God. You know, so many teenagers, so many adults, they try to do things on their own power, their own ability. That will fail you. It's not by our power. It's not by our strength. Who do you think built us? Who do you think is our creator? It's God. And he will give you the tools and he'll give you the ability to make it through in this wicked and selfish world. I like you guys to think about that. You know, I think about it all the time when I go to the Word of God when I'm discouraged. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. He was bold proclaiming the gospel, and he was ready to preach no matter where. You know, God called me to preach. God called me to work with the Kukapaw. And I actually was not called in college to preach. I was actually called just about 2 years ago. You know, God started working my heart to preach. You know, I never imagined being in front of people at all. Even when, during testimony time, I wanted to, you know, you kids are brave. When I was your age, I would probably drop the mic. But you guys, amen. But be bold. You know, how we're going to reach the Kukapaw for Christ, how we're going to reach this, how are you guys going to reach this city for Christ, is through humility, through preaching, and through being bold and taking a stand against this world. All right? Let's pray real quick. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for the day. Thank you for allowing me to preach. I pray this message was a help to someone today, and I pray that you deal with hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.